Hallelujah, Jesus. How can pastor, or assistant pastor, and I looked over and I said, he should have asked you. And she said, well, I'm sniffling too. Boy, can't get out of it. Thank God for all that he's doing, and I certainly want to thank God for my wife and my family. I want to give honor to all of the elders, all of the deacons, all of you. If you don't mind just standing for our responsive reading, we'll be taken from Revelation 19, I believe. Certainly was wonderful testimonies, wonderful songs. Thank God for all of you just going through whatever you're going through and still showing up anyway. It's a wonderful thing. Thank God for the brotherhood, breakfast yesterday, praise and prayer. And it's growing. It's growing. And I think people get it, that we're not trying to give a message. And our message is we need to be praying in these last days. And it doesn't matter where you worship. As long as you believe in Jesus, we accept that. It's growing. More church, I noticed they sent a couple more spies to say it was okay. You know, so just three verses of scripture here. Verses 7 through 10. If you have that, you can all say amen.
Amen.
All right, Revelation 19, 7 reads, we can read it together. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white,
for the fine linen is righteousness of saints.
And he said unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, these are the true sayings of God. And I, John, fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. May the Lord have a blessing to the reading of his word. And the church said, word, bless already. Hallelujah. I just want to, I will not be long, and that's a fact. You know me, I'm never long. So we will be short, sweet, and to the point. My message and my title of this, I'm not good with titles, so it is, you have a job to do. Do me a favor and tell somebody, you have a job to do. Now, one thing about being a Christian, God has called everybody. We're all called to be a witness. We're all called to be saved and to live holy and to do the right thing. But I'm talking about, I didn't say we have work to do, because we all have work to do. But you, yes, you have a job to do. Something about us. And I have to use sports because that's what I know. So that's what I use. I use what I know best. There's some people out there, greatness overshadows greatness sometimes. What I mean is, have you heard of Charles Barkley or Patrick Ewing or John Stockton
Amen.
Or Reggie Miller or any of those guys? The thing about those, if you haven't, those are NBA players. If you haven't heard of them, everybody, unless you've been under a rock, have heard of Michael Jordan.
Yes.
You don't have to be in sports to know him. But here's a man, his greatness denied all of those guys for years a championship. Think about that. He denied them headlines. He was the first player to play hard on a Tuesday night in Minnesota. You know, where nobody was watching, but he would get 50 points.
All right.
Everybody else take nights off, not this man. He had something in him. Greatness will overshadow greatness.
Yes.
I would like to bring our attention to a person in the Bible. Doesn't get much fanfare, don't even know his name. However, in my opinion, his faith was at a large scale. I mean, it's hard to find too many stories of faith and moving on faith that are bigger in my mind. We are carnal people. We can't help but think greatness in a certain way. But that's not how God sees things. As I look in this building, I am in construction. I have a construction background. I see steel. In this beautiful church, I see brick, and I see wood, and I see paint, and I see carpets, and I see floors, and I know there's a roof. All of those things had a group of workers. At one point, this was a field here. At one point, it was trees. Someone had to clear it. But in our mind, if you ask who is the greatest, who made the greatest contribution in a church, if you ask the steel workers, they're going to say the steel workers did it. If you ask the masons, they're going to say the masons did it. If you ask the electricians, who's the greatest? The electricians are. This place wouldn't be anything without the work that we put in. But God doesn't work like that. God doesn't work like that. He has an assignment just for you. Just for you. Not that you're the only one that's going to do it. However, you're going to, and how do you know when you have a job to do? I learned this through experience, and I just want to give you a praise report or a testimony that I realized just yesterday. I'm like, how long have I been in church? And it's been 30 years. Yes. And I said, wow, what is going on? How am I this old? How am I this age? And I have to thank God. I said, wow, the last Sunday of the month of March in 1989, I went down in Jesus' name. I said, wow, that's been 30 years. I can't believe it. To God be the glory. His keeping power, been through some ups and some downs, but God, through it all, he's been faithful, he's been true. So I thank God for, and most of that time, my wife's been right with me, so I just thank God for her. And, you know, it's just amazing. I just can't believe it. Can't believe it. Anyway, what I'm saying is the job that God has for some of us, the problem in our carnal mind, sometimes we only see those big dynamic jobs. You know, everybody can't be Michael Jordan, but it doesn't. Poor Karl Malone. Poor Karl Malone. Let me tell you about Karl Malone. This man, Jordan scored the most points for 10 years straight. You know, about 8 of those years, who was number 2? Karl Malone. But you won't know that, because he came in second. In our mind, that's how things work. It's this, and then it's that. We got to have a first, second, and third. But that's not how God works. Paul said, I magnify my office. He didn't say, I magnify Peter's office, his job, what God wanted him to do. And the problem in church today is we compare everybody to this person or that person, but that's not their assignment. That's not their job. And then you can smile within yourself when you know you got a job. And when God confirms it and you're the only one in the room that knows it, you just sit back and say, I know it was you, Lord. I know it was you, Lord. So turn with me to Genesis, the 24th chapter. Now we all know about the greatness of Abraham. So great is he that God, throughout the Bible, he has sprinkled the Bible with comparing with the shadow, the type and shadow of Abraham to himself. So much so that when we read the book of Galatians, we get a little confused when we read that. We start thinking that he's actually talking about Abraham. He's not talking about Abraham at all. I won't say at all. What he's talking about, this is me and my children. Understand this, and my seed. Understand, if you read that book of Galatians again, you'll see he's talking about an old covenant and a new covenant. And that's what the whole book is about. But we get twisted when we read it. And I read it for years, and I thought it for years. This is talking about Abraham, but it's an allegory, example, as. So Abraham is an important figure in God's mind. Throughout the scripture, he's comparing. This happens with Abraham. Look at this. This is how I'm going to do it. You see how I'm going to? He was trying to tell humanity for years that he was going to be the seed that the whole world will be blessed by. So we get a little confused, because we see things the way we want to see them instead of the way they really are. Can I hear hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Let's read from Genesis, the 24th chapter. Genesis 24. Now, this person that I'm talking about is Abraham's servant. No one says his name. However, he is the eldest servant of Abraham. I've been in church a long time. I don't really remember anybody talking much about this man. But when you see his faith, you understand that even this servant has it. I don't know if I have the faith that compares to him. We want to talk about faith. This man was never promised anything of God. Never promised anything. Abraham had a conversation. So I'm not demising what Abraham, because the greatness of Abraham is well known. But what I'm saying is this man was told nothing. Nothing of God. But yet he came into the house. And if you read in the 17th chapter, you see that God told Abraham, all that are male in your house, bought with money, of your seed or not, circumcised. And I just thought, and I think about that, the man had to be, take on those customs that Abraham had. And he believed the way Abraham believed. And we see that here. He had faith because he saw it at work so many times. He saw it over and over again. But what happens when you have a job to do, at some point your faithfulness pays off. At some point you just being faithful, you just coming and you just being in the mix. When it's snowing, when it's raining, oh, I'm consistent, I'm just doing. And now all of a sudden God says, I need you to do something. I need you to do something for me. All right, so this man's faithfulness, he had a long track record. And you can see there's a relationship with Abraham that is like a friend. It's not a slave-master relationship. Not quite like that. You can tell the way it's, the conversation goes. 24 verse, let's go right to verse 2. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant, of his house, that a ruler over all, forgive me, I have, these are called progressives, so when I go down, the vision changes, so it takes me a minute to get the word, so if I don't get it all the time, that's what's going on. I don't know why they came up with this, because if I go to steps, now I got one vision up here and another one down here, and it's confusing, so forgive me. Verse 2, I have to say that, because you say, what's the pause for? What's going on? What do you think about it? Anyway, no charge for that. Verse 2, and Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, put I, pray thee, thy hand under my thigh. Now what happens here is he tells him, I'm old and I want something to happen here, but you got to promise me something. He said, don't let my son go live where I came up. I'm just trying to fill in some of this stuff. Don't let my son go and live where I came from. And there's reasons behind that, but that's not my focus today. But he said, but I want my son to take a wife from where I came from. And I want him to take a wife from my people. And yeah, it's his first cousin. But anyway, he wants his son to take a wife from his people. So let's skip down to verse 5. Verse 5. And the servant said unto him, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I need bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou came? So here you see this servant's concern. The servant, think about this. As soon as Abraham gives him this thing to do, his immediate concern is, I want to do it right. Suppose she don't come. You know, how do I get ready for that? So you see the sense that he doesn't say, oh, I'm not ready to go. I don't really feel like going, because there's no GPS. There's no way. He doesn't give him instruction on how. He just told him about where. Now this man has to come up with all of that stuff on his own. But his first question is, suppose she don't want to come? So you see the level, the love that he has for Abraham. Suppose she doesn't come. You can sense that. Verse 7. I'm just skipping it here. Now this is Abraham was saying to him to reassure him. 7. the Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and that sweared unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. So he's reassuring him, listen, if you don't have confidence in nothing else, you know that God has worked in my life. You see what the blessings have been. You're my eldest servant. You started way back. You've been with me through thick and thin. You've seen it all. You know that this is of God. I need you to know that if it's of God, God is going to help in the situation. God is going to assist, just like the job that you have. When you have an assignment from God, God is going to assist you. How do you know this is your job? Because it comes easy for you. I didn't say it's no challenge, but it comes easy. I don't care if it's ushering. It comes easy to you. It may have some challenges with it, but the facts are, it's easy for you to do. You don't have to wonder, like Minister Simon up here, that's an easy thing for him. Are there challenges singing in the praise team and being the leader? I'm sure there's some challenges. You know our people, come on. You know what our people are all about. So there's got to be some challenges there. But at the same time, it's easy for him. It just clicks for him. God just opens things up. It's easy. No matter what the job is, it's easy. I don't want to say it's just figure this. You do everything else bad in your life. You just mess it all up. But this one thing comes easy to you. You ever have that experience? It's just easy for me. I don't know what it is. I just walk into it and it's like magic. It's not magic. That's what God wants you to do. He's aiding and assisting you. He's a present help in the time of trouble. Hallelujah. So this man of faith moved out and started going on this journey. And now he's going to a place, and now he has to deal with God all on his own now. Have you ever been in that predicament where you used to rely on someone for this and that, and now this person is no longer in your life? I dealt with that when I lost my mom and dad. I was dealing with them, and I had a comfort. It was like, we can mess up financially sometimes, and I always knew in the back of my mind, I always call mom. She'd throw me, you know, $200 or something, or I could call that. But when that went away, I started thinking, wow, where am I going to get this? If I mess up financially, who's going to help? God's going to help. That's who. And all these years, it took me a long time to realize my help coming from the Lord, not an individual. So God, now this man has to deal with God one-on-one. Now, we don't know if he had a relationship before this, but I'm assuming that he did, because you don't just magically get to a certain place without a track record. So now he's dealing with God one-on-one. Let's go to verse number 12. And he said, this is the servant, and he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day, and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Understand the prayer. This is a prayer of faith. If you don't have faith, you can't really pray. If you don't have faith, you can't really. What are you praying for if you don't believe the thing that you're praying for? I always like to say faith is reaching out, holding on to nothing, and holding on until it turns into something. This is a faith story. This man is by himself. He's not exactly by himself. He has a small entourage, but he's the leader now. He's no longer traveling with Abraham, taking instructions. He's the leader now. So he's prepared, but just in case he's not, he's praying to God. And now he says, show kindness to my master Abraham. Hallelujah. Let's go to verse, let's skip down. And he goes through this little thing. He says, well, Lord, I tell you what, I'm going to go here, and if I'm sure, I'm not sure how it's going to work out, but if they say this, then I'll do this, and if they do that, then I'll do, then I know it's you. We all do that, don't we? If you call me between 2 o'clock on a Monday, right between 2:05
and 207, then I know it was the Lord. We always do all of that stuff. And I don't know, I've done it, and sometimes it don't work out so well. I'll just say that. Sometimes it don't work out all that good. But anyway, he does that. But this is a serious event. This is a big part of the example of Abraham that God is trying to show humanity, all of us. So, verse 15. And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, ain't that something? And it came to pass, before he's praying, Lord, if they say this, if they say that, or if they do this, and while he's, and Lord, 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 and then while he's, and here comes what he was praying about, before he was done speaking. And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born of Bethuel, the son of Micaiah, and the wife of Naor. This is Abraham's brother. It is what it is. But what happened here is he said, well, if she shows kindness to me, and then not me only, and then says, I'm going to give water to all your camels and everything, that's the woman. So she did all of that. So now in verse 21. Now, here's the thing that we fail to do in church. Just because it looks like that's what God did, just because it feels like, we can't be all wrapped up in emotion and say, well, that's what God meant, and look at that, he's doing it. We have to be very sure. The song says, be very sure your anchor holds. So this servant, knowing how God works, he said, well, wait a minute, it all looks like it lines up, but I'm not exactly sure. Verse 21. And the man wondered at her, held his peace. That's the mistake we make too. We go and tell people what we believe is going to happen before it happens. Then they prophesy the thing that we told them. That's a big mistake. If you want to know what God is doing, keep, I don't want to sound rude, but keep your mouth closed on what God promised you and wait till he confirms it and then bring it out. Oh, wow, this is confirmed. God confirmed this. Back here, he said he's going to do this, and now he's doing it. This is my proof to me, not to you, to me, because I, even I, have a job to do. So the man wondered at her, held his peace, to wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. Understand, this man is very concerned, and he does a good job. Let's skip down to verse 26. Verse 26. And the man bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord. Here's what happened. What happened is, she began to say who she is. And then it came back. Abraham told him, I want a woman from my people. Can you imagine all of the places that he could have gone and got off track? Goes right to the very spot. The first person he sees is the person that Isaac will eventually marry. And this is the person that Abraham, this is not the person, but this is the family that he wanted to, his son to marry from. So now he's like, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. And when you have situations in your life and when God confirms it to you, you can't help but just throw your hands and just say, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Now, nobody in the room might know what you're saying thank you for, but you yourself know that God just opened a door that no man could close. See, God blessed you, not a man, and you know that. And people think, oh, you're feeling good or something. No, you don't understand. God said it was going to be this way, and it was that way. It was not to the left or to the right, but it was that way. Understand that. When I have a job to do, God is going to prepare you for that job. And the man bowed his head and worshiped the Lord. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who have not left me destitute, my master of his mercy and his truth, I being in the way. What he's saying here is, thank God I didn't mess this up with my master. Yeah. I didn't want to fail. Have you ever been there where you just say, I don't want to fail? Like songwriter said, Lord, don't let me fail. I don't want to fail. I don't want to mess it up for somebody else. I don't want to mess it up. And then when you find out that you didn't mess it up, you added and you helped and you did what God wanted you to do, it's like you can't help but just say, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. You're just so good to me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the story goes, and the end of the story, he goes back, and first person, she lays eyes on, because she, there's a whole thing about her going or not going, because the family was trying to get her to stay back, but he had an Elkanah spirit, and he was forceful. He's like, no, she's coming back with me today. And it got to a point where the family said, well, we don't want her to go. We don't want her to go, and she'll go in a year or something like that. And the servant said, no, that's not what Abraham sent me to do. My job was to bring her back, because now you're telling me I may have to bring my servant's son back here, and he may end up stuck here in this place, because my master does not want. So I'm not leaving without her. And then the gods softened their hearts, and they said, well, we'll let her decide. And then she comes in the door, and there's no hesitation. I'm ready to go. Can you understand that? You just met this man, and she's saying, I'm ready to go. Which way do we go? Do I have enough stuff? I'll get my bags packed. I'm ready. So the family kind of looks kind of silly sitting there like, well, we were arguing for you to stay, and you're talking about you got to go. But when God has a plan, he opens doors that no man can close. And for you, me, no matter what, the thing is, the job can't be, we have an inflated opinion sometimes, because that's who we are. We all fall victim to that. We all see ourselves as the bishop of 10,000 people, but we can't usher at the door. We can't have jobs that we don't like to do. I wrote down a few things that got his servant into this position. Number one, faithfulness. Faithfulness. When you're faithful to the things that God put you in, that means you don't take weeks and weeks off without legitimate reasons. There's reasons that, and I feel bad because there's like times this time of the year, I don't have time like I normally do, because I have stuff in the spring that I can't do any other time. So this time of the year is rough, but it doesn't change my faithfulness to God just because I got a season of busyness. So being faithful, then the love for God and his work. This man loved God through his master. And I'm sure after this, he loved God straight for himself. And then three, he put God's will, or his master's will, and understand, Abraham was his master, but we know who our master is. So he put his master's will before his own will. Everything that his master wanted, he wanted to make him happy. The same way we ought to want to make Jesus, make the Lord of our life, make our deliverer happy. Or being humble. Humble enough to be approachable about the small things. The small things. It's easy for us to have someone do this, but to have someone clean sometimes, that's not so easy. Or something that may not get recognition, that's hard to feel sometimes. And a determination to do God's will. You can't just have one bump in the road and say, that's it, I'm done. I had trouble with that the last time I did, I'm never doing it again. That's not this servant's attitude. The faith of this servant's, yes, this servant did not make Faith's Hall of Fame, but I like to believe he made honorable mention, because, yes, he didn't do all of those things that David did and the three Hebrew boys, but the marriage supper of the Lamb, he's a part of that. He's a part of that. He's given us an example of what the marriage is going to be all about. Because Isaac, if you know anything, is that type of shadow of the seed. And he is the example of the seed. So, and the Bible says Jesus is the seed in Galatians. Jesus is that seed. And if you be Jesus, then are you Abraham's seed. So this is the seed. This man is a part. And there's going to be a day coming soon. Hallelujah. When our Father, not Abraham, but our Father will send his servant to call from the four winds of the earth and say, my people, come, my people. Hallelujah. You have enough. Come, my people. The Bible said at the last trump, when the last trump shall sound, then the dead in Christ shall rise, and we that are alive and remain shall be caught up and meet him in the cloud in the sky. Hallelujah. Understand that God has We must work until he comes. The Bible says we must work while there's daylight, because nighttime comes and no man shall be able to work. God has been good to all of us. The least we can do is do his will. David said, what shall I render unto the Lord?
Feel his love. It's present with you daily. Hallelujah.